The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to
you. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, here at the end of the year, we hear apocalyptic readings. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, something like that, I spoke about apocalyptic readings. That the word apocalypse just means to remove the veil. That's all it means, to remove the veil. Every apocalyptic reading reveals, unveils something that wasn't known before. And biblical apocalyptic reading always reveals that God always wins. That's why we hear these apocalyptic readings at the end of the year. People think they're all about doom and gloom. Truth of the matter is, they're supposed to give you hope. So we got an apocalyptic first reading and apocalyptic gospel here. First reading is a mysterious reading from the book of Daniel about a bizarre dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he dreamed of four statues. They all fall down and they're replaced by a fifth statue hewn out of rock that doesn't fall down. And Daniel says that those four statues refer to four kingdoms, all of which are going to collapse. And they're going to be replaced by a fifth kingdom that will never collapse. Now, if you're a first century Jew hearing that for the very first time, you know exactly what Daniel's talking about, because there have in fact been four kingdoms. There was the kingdom of the Babylonians, there was the kingdom of the Persians, there was the kingdom of the Greeks, now there's the kingdom of the Romans. You hear that and you think to yourself, oh, the kingdom of the Romans is going to fall and it's going to be replaced by the fifth kingdom that never falls. What's the fifth kingdom that's never going to fall? If you're a first century Jew, you know that refers to the kingdom of the Messiah. That kingdom that will not be subject to the rise and to the fall of nations. Of course, nations always rise and fall, don't they? Kingdoms always come and go. And the people living in those kingdoms, they never think their kingdom's going to fall or their kingdom's going to go, but they always do. But the promise here, now it stands true, there's one kingdom that's never going to fall. It's never going to go. What kingdom is that? What's the kingdom of the Messiah? Well, we believe that actually refers to the church. Just like Jesus said to Peter, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it." Okay, but here, I think we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. Here in the gospel, Jesus referred to something that people thought would stand forever. He's talking about the great temple in Jerusalem, a building so important to the Jewish people that they were convinced that the end of the temple meant the end of the world. In fact, all around the temple, it was all ornamented with images of the cosmos and the sky and the stars. And the idea was that the temple was the center of the whole universe. And if the temple ever fell, that'd be the end of the world. They all believed it. Of course, the temple fell. And the world keeps marching merrily along, doesn't it? Okay, so we got to be a little bit careful here. We talk about the kingdom that never falls. Even when we're talking about the church, we can't be talking about anything in the church that's merely human. We have to be talking about that which is divine. God's teaching, right? And faith and morality. God's grace in the sacraments, especially in the Eucharist. We talk about the church and that which is never going to fall. We have to make sure that we're talking about the heart of the church and not anything that's merely human. The Dome of St. Peter's could come collapsing down tomorrow, and the Pope could wander the streets of Rome as a homeless vagabond. And if you got faith, it shouldn't shake your faith at all. I like to think of the church, honestly, I think about this all the time, the church when it was most perfect. You know when the church was most perfect and most pure? Take a look at the crucifix. It was Good Friday. And everybody ran away, and there was just our Lord and our Lady and a few faithful disciples, and the whole church was there. And that's all that we ever needed. We think about the church as it's existed in persecution in the Romans, living in the catacombs. I think about the church today as it exists in China and North Korea, places where people have to say Mass in hiding and in the shadows, maybe one day in your home and maybe one day in your home. And it's not ideal, but everything that's needed is there, and that which is guaranteed by God, that will never fall. That's what we want to deepen our hope in. That's what we want to belong to. That's where we want to root our faith and our peace. Institutions of the world, they all come and go. They all rise and fall. Nations and buildings and financial systems and banking systems and economic systems, they all collapse. You know, I think of them all as being God's playthings. The institutions of the world are like God's toys, and he plays with them. And he lets them fall. Why? So that you won't place your hope in anything that doesn't last, so that maybe when it falls, it'll lead you back to him, right? So that's what we want to do. A little tiny reminder here at the end of the year. Deepen your faith in the Eucharist, and that deepens your faith in the Lord. Amen.